Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 14 September 2025, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments, silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, the love of God. And we noted, first of all, divine love related to divine essence. God lives eternally and infinitely. God does not possess life as we do. He is life. God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable, unending life. And a part of God's life is his love. Any love that comes from the integrity of God is perfect love. God's love is virtue love. Love belongs eternally, co-equally to each person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To understand God's virtue love helps us to appreciate and understand what is available to us under the wisdom and power of God. It is possible through the power of God to come to the place in our lives where we have the most fantastic happiness, tranquility, and contentment, and at the same time to have this fantastic love for God. We can get to that point where we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you reach to that point, then the principle of Romans 8:28 will be true for you. All things work together for good for the ones who love God. Divine love is compatible with all the attributes of God. Divine love is the manifestation of all the attributes of God. So we're going to take a look at the love of God with each of the attributes. First of all, God is sovereign. God is sovereign, and therefore, his love is self-motivated and compatible with the divine decrees and all other divine decisions in eternity past, in time, and in eternity future. So his love is related to his sovereignty. And God is eternal. And therefore, God's love exists eternally. There never was a time when God was not infinite virtue love. God's love never had a beginning, but has always existed. Because God is eternal, he gives his divine love whether there is an occasion or not. Now, this idea is almost beyond our grasp. It is so phenomenal. God does not have to have an object for his love to exist. Although we, as creatures, we do. But God has always been infinite virtue love. God is holy. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And since God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, God has impersonal love for all of his creatures, even when they are in spiritual death and totally depraved. The love of God possesses perfect integrity, which includes incorruptible justice and immutable righteousness. And this means the love of God is perfect and eternal virtue. God's love is infinite virtue love because it's related to his holiness, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God is immutable and therefore unchangeable. And therefore, his divine love is unchangeable. It cannot be corrupted or frustrated or changed or compromised by man's failures or flaws or sins or evil or any other function of the sin nature. God's love is unchangeable. God has always had maximum virtue love. Because God is immutable, his love cannot vacillate, cannot change. And this means that God's love does not increase, nor does it decrease, does not improve, nor does it decline. Divine love remains the same and is always consistent with the other divine attributes. We do not earn nor deserve God's infinite virtue love. God's love is never disappointed, never frustrated, never distracted. God is omniscient. Divine knowledge and omniscience does not cancel or change God's love. God knows every thought that every person ever had throughout history. Many of the thoughts about God are not kind, but that doesn't change God at all. God's love doesn't stop and turn away because someone insults or blasphemes him. You don't have the power or the ability to change God's love because his love is perfect virtue love. Because God foreknew human failures, he did not cancel his love for those who fail. So here's the principle. God does not condone sin, but he doesn't stop loving the sinner. God does not condone sin, but he doesn't stop loving the sinner. Here's another principle. God does not condone legalism, but he doesn't stop loving the legalist or the self-righteous person who is full of his own self-importance. God does not condone legalism, but he doesn't stop loving the legalist and the self-righteous person who is full of his own self-importance. God has never canceled his love for his creatures, even though his creatures have failed him in many ways. God is truth, veracity, and therefore divine love is revealed and integrated into every category of the Word of God. Bible doctrine is the thinking or the mind of Christ. The Word of God is the mind of Christ and the voice of the Spirit. And therefore, divine love is rooted in every form of knowledge which resides in the perfect, eternal, absolute being. God is infinite. God is infinite, and therefore all members of the Trinity are without boundary or limitation. God unites in himself those perfections which belong to his person and his essence, and this includes his divine virtue love. Now that brings us to point two. See, you thought we had point, that was all point one. Point two. Certain applications are made by faith as we begin to understand God's love. Certain applications are made by faith as we begin to understand God's love. Now, since God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, since he is the holy God, and since that is incorruptible, immutable, infinite, and unchanging virtue, then God's virtue love can never be compromised or its capacity diminished or limited in any way. So, one, man's sinfulness and failure cannot and does not change or affect God's perfect, eternal, immutable virtue love for us. We all have a sin nature. We all sin. I know this is hard for you to believe, but even Pastor Olson sins. I think I've sinned at least once or twice in the last 30 years, you know. We all sin. We all have a sin nature. But the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross paid the penalty for all those sins. When you sin, you get out of fellowship with God. What do? You rebound. Now, I had great, great friends when I was at Washington State University. And the Kelso family, they're the one that introduced me to Pastor Thieme and his ministry, and I used to go out to their house and listen to Bible classes. And I learned about all these things. And I love this family. Ellen Kelso, she's in heaven now. Dale Kelso, I went and did a lot of fishing with him. He was a deacon in the church at Bethany Bible Church. And they had some friends that were the Rostells. And Ray Rostell was served in the military, and he was shot down as a pilot behind enemy lines. He was shot down and had to pass through enemy territory to come get back. The word got to his wife that he was shot down, and he told her, "Now look, if you get the message, I am shot down, I am dead. I am not going to let them take me prisoner. So if you get a phone call like that, I'm dead." She got the phone call, "Your husband has been shot down behind enemy lines." And she knew he was dead because he was going to take as many people he could with him, and then they could take him. But he was not going to be a prisoner, absolutely. And he made it to friendly forces, made it. And when he got into this village, it was a village that had it was a Christian village. And he asked them, he says, "Do the Viet Cong, do they come in and bother you?" And they said, no, they don't come in right here at all. they say that we got a couple of them, and they said, we couldn't go into that village because there were men, giant men on fire with swords, and we couldn't get in there. Those giant men on fire with swords were angels protecting that little village. And so anyway, the Rostels would get together with the Kelsos, and they would play pinochle. Was that? No. Well, what? Bridge. And it was cutthroat bridge. And Ellen told me one time when I was out there, she says, it's the women against the men. And when they do some, I get out of fellowship, and they'll be here the whole weekend for bridge. And I'm not going to rebound till it's all over and they're out. Then I'll rebound. Now, I don't suggest you do that. I suggest you keep short accounts with God and rebound that shortly after you sin. Get back into fellowship with God. But they were great, great winner believers. The Rostels and the Kelsos, great winner believers. So man's sinfulness and failure cannot and does not change or affect God's perfect, eternal, immutable virtue love for us. 2, therefore, even when we are under divine discipline, that divine discipline that we receive is from God's virtue love. It's because He loves us. Because He loves us. That's why He disciplines us. So therefore, even when we are under divine discipline, that discipline we receive is from His virtue love. Now, we've seen this passage many times, but I want you to see it again. You can't see it too many times. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll start at verse 5. Hebrews 12, 5. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. By the way, divine discipline is a family matter. We are royal family of God. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. What's the basis for divine discipline? He loves us. What's the motivation? He loves us. He doesn't want to see us crash and burn. He wants to bless us. And so when you are making bad decisions, you're out of fellowship with God, you're living in Satan's cosmic system, you're going to get spanked because God loves you. He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. He wants you to get back into fellowship. He wants you to move out in your spiritual life. He wants to bless you. So because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. So, endure deserved suffering. This is deserved. We deserve it when we're out of fellowship with God, making bad decisions. This is deserved. Endure deserved suffering as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And for those of you who are parents and have children, it's a very wonderful institution, the family. You get to train those children. And when they make, it'd be great to say that they never sin and never make bad decisions, but they will. And discipline is a part of your training. And that demonstrates that you love them. That demonstrates that you love them. And if you don't love them, you won't discipline them. If you do love them, then you will discipline them. So, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and every believer undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our human fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his blessings. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces the prosperous fruit of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity for those who have been trained by it. So even when we are under divine discipline, that discipline we receive is from his virtue love for us. It's because he is infinite virtue love. So even God's pre-knowledge in eternity past of our sins and failures, that cannot cancel or diminish God's virtue love for us. 3, because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, his divine virtue love cannot be prejudiced or unfair, and it is never discriminating. Because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, his divine virtue love cannot be prejudiced or unfair. It is never discriminating. 4, because God is holy, his love can only function in perfect virtue and integrity. Because God is holy, absolute righteousness, and perfect justice, his love can only function in perfect virtue and integrity. Five, rejection of God's love never results in any form of sinful or evil reaction from God. God's love does not change. God's virtue love is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So rejection of God's love never results in any form of sinful or evil reaction from God. God's love does not change. 6, divine love connected with the justice of God performs punitive action. Divine love connected with the justice of God performs punitive action, but this does not change the virtue love behind that punitive action, and that's Hebrews 12, verse 6. Divine love connected with the justice of God performs punitive action, but this does not change the virtue love behind that punitive action. Hebrews 12, verse 6. 7. The combination of God's absolute righteousness, perfect justice, and love demands that we receive logistical grace, blessing, and support down that grace pipeline from the justice of God on one end to the imputed righteousness in the believer on the other end. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Christ, and judged them in Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus Christ solved the world's sin problem, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, when they come and place their faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, you're simply putting your faith in Jesus Christ. He did all the work for salvation. So you're placing your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And as soon as you do that, the justice of God imputes to each one of you the righteousness of God. And that establishes a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes blessing, blessing, blessing. The justice of God on one end, the imputed righteousness of God in each one of you on the other end. And at that very moment of faith in Christ, right then, 40 salvation blessings come down that grace pipeline. Instantly, 40 salvation blessings. And then every day from that day of your salvation right up to today, logistical grace, blessing, and support, temporal security, comes down that pipeline to you. All believers, the good, the bad, the ugly, those who are making good decisions, those who are making bad decisions, winner believers, loser believers, all kinds of believers. God sends that temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support. Why? To keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can, somewhere along the line, the light goes on. The light goes on and you realize, hey, I need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you start making good decisions. You find yourself a sound Bible teaching church. You assemble consistently and faithfully. You assemble it with humility, respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor teaching the Word of God. And when you do that, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You attain spiritual maturity. You have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when you accomplish that, then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessings that will be awarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ. And those greater grace blessings, those crowns and rewards, will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. You see, God wants to bless you, bless you, bless you. That's why when you start making bad decisions and you're heading toward crashing and burning, He spanks you because He loves you and He wants to bless you. But you're making bad decisions. You're going the wrong way. And so He spanks you because He loves you. And then when you get back in fellowship with God, you get moving out, why then, point seven again, the combination of God's righteousness and justice and love demands that we receive logistical grace, blessing, and support down that grace pipeline from the justice of God on one end to the imputed righteousness of God in the believer on the other end, that we be kept alive whether we are winners or losers. All logistical grace blessing goes from the justice of God to the imputed righteousness of God in the believer. And punitive action does not imply any change in God's love. We receive divine discipline at certain points, and we receive divine blessing at certain points. God blesses us on the basis of the fact that we have His imputed righteousness. God loves His righteousness. Wherever His righteousness resides, God's love goes where His righteousness is. And at the moment of Jesus, faith in Christ, we have a double portion of righteousness. God the Father imputes His righteousness to us, and through the baptism of the Spirit, we're entered into union with Jesus Christ, and we share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the royal family of God in the church age have a double portion of God's righteousness, and He loves His righteousness with personal love. Divine personal love, because He always loves His righteousness. So, there are two categories of divine love. Category number one, God's personal, divine personal love. And category number two, God's divine impersonal love. For all. So there's two categories of divine love. God's divine personal love, and that goes anywhere where God's righteousness resides, to the other members of the Godhead, because they're all absolute righteousness, to every believer in Jesus Christ, because we have the righteousness of God. And then there's God's impersonal love, and that goes to all mankind. That's what motivated Operation Grace, the cross. God's impersonal love for the whole world. God loved the world so much. The world, the whole world. Unbelieving man in spiritual death and total depravity. God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. That's divine impersonal love for all. And God can have that divine impersonal love because of His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Well, these two categories are very important, and we need to go into it in more detail than 1 minute. So you have to come back next week and we'll take a look at it with our heads bowed. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.